did continue to practice your social distancing, washing of hands, keeping face masks on, and coughing in your sleeve, all of the protocols that we have been inundated with over the past 8-9 months, amen, making sure we do those things. The COVID numbers are rising, but let's make sure we do our part to help them not to rise anymore, as far as we're concerned, amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. If you have the ability to stand, then go ahead and stand. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. And Gregory, make sure we keep this platform mic on. Amen. I think I can walk a little bit further today, this way and that way. Amen. So praise God for that. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Amen. All right. Everybody there say amen. All right, anybody? Oh, please. All right, amen. All right, let's go ahead and read the verse number 1, 2, and 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Amen. Notice 4 and 5 as well. Who have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What did he do? Gave himself a ransom for all that he testified in due time. The last time we have spoken, we've been talking about taking a stand amidst all the rules and things that may get enacted. We talked about making sure individually we can stand. Today we're going to have one final message and give us one other tip that we need to make sure of. We looked at looking unto Jesus, shining as light, and standing. But there's one more thing we want to make sure that we do as well. We'll discuss that this morning as we go into next year's inauguration of a new president and a new regime for the next 4 years. Father, bless now the moments that we have together, Lord. Bless the ears of those listening here. Open their minds and their hearts that we may be attentive. Lord, the nation is at a crossroads right now, and Lord, the prayers of the saints, of the Christians, is going to make a difference. And so, Lord, I pray that we would do our part to pray and seek your face, turn from any wicked way we may have, Lord, and allow you to hear what we have to say, and you would forgive sin, and you would heal our land, Lord, because we are your people, and we are called by your name, and we do need to humble ourselves and pray. So help us today, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear and do what you would have us to do and be what you want us to be and have this nation to become what you want it to become. We thank you for those listening online. Open their ears, minds, and hearts. Help them not to be distracted or sidetracked by anything in their home, but be attentive to the Word of God. And pray for anyone that's listening that has not received Christ as Savior. They would do that first and foremost because you said you would have all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Blessed now in a marvelous way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, we know that we're looking unto Jesus. We know that we have a race to run. We know that we need to shine as lights. We know we need to stand like Daniel stood, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood. We know those things. And those things are automatic. But as we prepare for the days ahead as individuals, we have to do what Paul encouraged Timothy to do. And what is that? Pray. Pray. Pray is going to keep you sane. Pray is going to keep you serene. Prayer is going to keep you standing. Prayer is going to keep you in the framework to answer people. Prayer is going to give you the power that you need. Prayer is going to help you to adjust to any unjust things that may happen over the next 4 years. Because I assure you some unjust things will happen. I assure you some immoral things will happen. I assure you some things will happen that you don't want to happen to you. Amen? None of us wanted the COVID to happen to us. But guess what? It happened to us just the same. Amen? And prayer is what it's going to take for you and I. First Timothy here in chapter number 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 to pray, and it behooves you and I to pray as well. Notice what Paul gives Timothy in his charge here. Notice, go back to chapter number 1. Because this letter is written to Timothy. He was one of Paul's disciples. He was his mentor. He really worked with him. And he gave him a charge to stay in Ephesus. And notice verse number 3 in chapter number 1. Matter of fact, let's start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto who, Timothy, so you know who it's written to, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He gets right into letting Timothy know, this is what I want you to do. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, we know about Ephesians, when I went in Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So he left Timothy there to straighten things out, if you would, in Ephesus, to make sure that they're not teaching anything that's wrong. And notice what he goes on to say down in verse number 18. He says down there, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He said, when you go in there, Timothy, I want you to teach them to teach nothing else other than what is sound doctrine, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the basics. But then he does something. He opens up chapter 2 and goes right to the point. Notice what he says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, he said, Timothy, before you get into this church, before you do anything, I want you to make sure that you got your priorities set. Doctrine needs to be attended to. But then he said, pray for the government. Why pray for the government? Because those are the officials that are going to make laws that will either allow you liberties or take them away. Those are the ones that can incarcerate you or set you free. Those are the ones that can harass you or not harass you. Those are the ones that have the liberty of the state to do what they do. And so he says, as a Christian church, teach him about not teaching any other doctrine, but go straight to the root. You've got to get the government involved in this. You've got to pray for them. Prayer still rules the hand of God when it comes to government. God can still get things done when you and I pray. So he goes right in there and he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, he said, get into some prayer. And by the way, Proverbs 21:1 says it this way, and we looked at this before. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Amen. By the way, we may be a small remnant that are praying, but we can make a difference. Israel was often smaller than her enemies, but Israel made a difference. David was smaller than Goliath, but he made a difference. You and I will often be smaller than the majority around us, in our families, at our jobs, in our schools, in our communities. We will often be the minority. In government, Christians are the minority. In politics, they're the minority. Joseph made a difference in Egypt. Esther made a difference in Persia among ungodly rules and ungodly rulers. And so there is a need for prayer. So I want to bring out several points here in verses 1 and 2 and 3 that Paul is trying to really reiterate to Timothy. Letting know, Timothy, if you're going to operate as a church, if you're going to be successful as a church, if you're going to do something as a people, then you've got to pray for your government. You've got to do this. Now, were the governments during this time good? They were just as corrupt then as they are now. In every area of government, you're going to have those that are right, righteous, and those that are bad and unruly. They're going to be there. They are going to be there. Notice this need for prayer. And how many of y'all know that confession is good for the soul? I'm going to be honest. Since this pandemic started, I've done more bellyaching, more murmuring, more disputing, more complaining about the political system and the political ads than I've done praying. I'm just going to be honest. Every time I saw an ad, I'm like, yeah, time and just prayed. But I complained and I bellyached and I moaned and I murmured. And looking at the political system, I'm looking at what Biden is doing and throwing slinging mud, and this one is slinging mud, and Trump is slinging mud, and name calling. I'm thinking, instead of just bowing my old wicked head and praying, I complain. So I'm just going to be honest. Now, maybe y'all were more spiritual than I. And maybe y'all prayed. Y'all said, oh, Lord, help them. They need you, Lord God. Help them out, Lord. Not me. I was really throw stuff at TV. So confession is good for the soul. Complaining and murmuring and bellyaching about the political system is not going to do any good. Praying about it will both do some good and help you feel good. Amen. It will. I don't know about you, but when I bellyache and complain and murmur, I don't feel good about things. Amen. And so Paul, as he's exhorting Timothy, he goes down here. Notice he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, he said, the main thing that I want you to do, Timothy, are these things here. Get a hold of some supplications. What is supplication? It's asking God for something specific. It's like going to your parent or going to a friend and saying, I need jumper cables. That's specific. You don't just go to them and say, I need. You need what? I need a cup of water. I need some jumper cables. I need some sneakers. I need a tennis racket. Supplication is asking for something specifically. I'll give you a few things that we need to supplicate for when it comes to our government in the next regime that's coming up. Amen. First of all, supplicate specifically for the transition of power. How many of y'all heard there's a strife between them? Trump doesn't want to turn over the government because he thinks he won. Amen. The American people have spoken. They have voted. It's over. It's a done deal. You can appeal all you want to. The votes don't add up. And so supplicate specifically for the transition of power between President-elect Biden and President Trump. It's not going to be pretty. Trump doesn't like losing. He is not a politician. He's a businessman. And businessmen want to get a job done. And if you don't get the job done, I'll fire you. Only thing is, he can't fire the nation. Amen? He can fire his lawyer. He can fire a whole lot of people in his cabinet. He can fire a whole lot of people. But he cannot fire the government. And so pray for, supplicate for the transition of power. Supplicate also, number two, for Biden's supporters. Biden has chosen Senator Harris and will most likely choose other supporters that could sway him on things that are contrary to the Word of God, morally speaking. Our job is to supplicate that God would work in their hearts and put Christians around them to help influence them. Because they're going to need, think about it. What did President Obama say in his second term? I evolved in my thinking. That means somebody helped him evolve. You don't just do that by yourself. Somebody feeds you information, and that's when he legalized the gay marriage. So, you know, that doesn't just happen. People around you fill you with that. And so supplicate for the transition of power. Supplicate for Biden's supporters. Supplicate for those that are around him that could sway him. His supporters may be weak, they may be strong, they may be biblical or not, but they can influence him more on moral issues like marriage, like abortion, like transgender, LGBT items of agendas and things like that. They can influence him more on those issues. Now, am I against those people? Not against them at all. I'm just against the practice, amen? And so, supplicate for the transition of power. Supplicate for Biden and his supporters. Supplicate specifically for the influence of the Supreme Court. They have new appointees there, and they have the ruling oftentimes on pro-life issues, transgender issues, and other moral issues. Normally, if they can't get settled, they're going to come up to the Supreme Court for a ruling. So you and I have to supplicate for the influence of the Supreme Court that they would do the job that they have been called to do. Amen. So supplications, asking for specific needs. But then go back to chapter number 2 and verse number 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications. What is that? Specific needs. We've got to pray for specific needs for our government. I didn't list everything, but those are just some that you can have. Then he says prayers. What is prayer? A general request. Amen. By the way, God will normally say yes, no, or wait to a general request. You do it with your children all the time. Can I go ride my bike? Yes. Or no. is just the same. It's a general request, amen? By the way, this is a prayer that we need to pray for, and we need to pray for it bad. Pray for creative opportunities to share the gospel with COVID restrictions. It's just downright hard because you can't go door knocking anymore. People are scared to try to leave something on their door. Even the UPS guys won't even touch the doorbell anymore. They just leave the box out there. They sent me a package yesterday. They said, we gave it directly to the resident, which was a lie. They left it on my front porch. I wouldn't have known it was there. They hadn't sent me an email. We gave it to a resident. What if it wasn't one of my residents in my house? They left it on the porch. So witnessing right now is really going to be a strategic accomplishment that we're going to have to overcome. And so we've got to pray for creative opportunities to share the gospel with others. And let me give you three ways that we can do that. Number one, with our words. You can just tell somebody the gospel in speaking to them when given the opportunity. Number two, by your works, what you do. I was on my walk just the other day, and I only walk down in the wash behind our house to kind of strengthen my ankle up, and it was a guy stuck in the ditch. And so I tried to assist the guy out of the ditch. Of course, I didn't work, amen, but I tried. And after I was done, he said, can I give you some money? I said, no, I don't owe any money. I said, I'm just trying to help y'all get out of this ditch. I said, well, let me tell you what I would like. Can I share the gospel with you? And I got to share the gospel with this young man, amen. And so with our words, with works that we can do, but then there's another one with our ways. You know, love still goes a long way. You know, kindness still goes a long way. You know, long-suffering still goes a long way. You know, patience still goes a long way. Those are all ways that we can do some things in our witnessing, being creative with our words, with our works, and with our ways, working with people. We can still be patient with people. Do you know that it is still, how can I say this? Things are still changing. I mean, from one week to the next, Gregory had practice. He didn't have practice. They had mass. They had to go get COVID shots. They didn't have to go get COVID check or COVID checks. Then we're going to have practice. We're not going to have practice. We're going to have a season. We're not going to have a season. And it was just like this. And I'm sitting there. Where are we going? And we got to practice 5 minutes before it was supposed to start. The coach texted us 5 minutes before. I'm sorry, practice is canceled today. After I drove all the way down here. They said, you got to get a COVID test. We drove to get a COVID test. It was like 600 people in line. I told Greg, I said, we're not standing in 600 line, people line. Just to get home and say, oh, you might get a COVID test. Now, if I got a COVID test, I'd stand in line with 600 people. I'd be mad. There's some more of my complaining and griping I did, amen. And so, let me say, it is a work in progress. Things are changing. You don't really know what to expect at places. My dad had to go to the emergency room on a Thursday. My mom couldn't even go into the hospital with him. My dad's 85. And they would not let my mom in the hospital with him. Things are changing. And so we got to kind of roll with the punches in our creativity and our opportunities when it comes to witnessing with our words, with our works, and in our ways, amen, because it is difficult right now to say the least. But guess what? Did COVID catch God by surprise? No, it didn't. Do we still have to get the gospel out? Yes, we do. Do people still want to be saved? Yes, they do. Do they still need to be saved? Yes, they do. What did it say down there in verse number 4? Who will have, how many then? All men to be what? Saved and what? To come unto the knowledge of the truth. So our creativity has to really flourish and be inspired by the Holy Spirit. The traditional ways that we used to give out tracts and things like that are different now. Folks are skittish about receiving a tract, but they'll take your money. See how that works, amen? Well, I can't take that, you know, I don't know where it's been, but groceries are $5, but I'll take that though. So we've got to be creative in how we do things. We really do, amen? Just because of the times that we're in. So supplications there, prayers. But then he says this, intercession. Notice verse 1 again. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. What is an intercession? It is going to God on the behalf of others. Intercession. What do we need to intercede for? We need to intercede for Christians in politics. There are saved people in the political realm. Not everybody's lost, amen? Paul Chappell out there in California deals with it on a regular basis. And there's a network of Christians out there that are in the political realm. Our job then is to intercede on their behalf or pray for them. Preacher, what do we need to pray for them? That they would stand up and let everybody know they're Christian. And they would speak up and let everybody know they're against certain things. And then they would speak out against things that are immoral and injustice. Hey, wait a minute. We have a voice and we voted with our voice. Now we are depending on our representatives to carry our voice up the next chain. And we're depending on them to open up their mouths, if they're Christians, to make a moral stand for God. Because that's what they're there for. To carry out our votes. Now, I know everybody's not that way, but the Christians that are there should at least have Christian interests. They should not put their Christianity on the side while they serve in office. Last time I checked, you're a Christian until you die, amen? And then you go to heaven and you're still a Christian, amen? And so you don't put your Christianity on the back burner. That's like saying, I'm going to play basketball, but I'm going to put my Christianity on the back burner. I play football, but I'm going to put my Christianity on the back burner. I'm not going to really be a Christian on the football field or on the basketball court. I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to take it on my job. I'm not going to be a Christian on the job. What good is that kind of Christianity? The Christianity that makes a difference and that speaks up, that speaks out, and that stands up is a Christianity that I have 24 hours a day wherever I'm at making a difference around people. We don't have it to hide, so we need to intercede for these that are in the political realm. Matter of fact, hold your finger there to an example back in Esther of intercession. Remember Mordecai, when it was told to them that they were going to get killed because of what Haman did? Esther chapter number 4. And Mordecai and the Jews had to get down to business here. Esther chapter 4, and notice verse number 7. And verse number 7 says, and Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him. And is that the right? Did I write down the right reference here? Oh, I'm sorry, Esther 4:15. There we go, 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, because Mordecai basically says, somebody needs to step up, and it needs to be you. And verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. We're going to be moving fasting, prayer. He said, you need to fast. Go without your food. Go without your drink. And you need to pray. She said, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. What was going on there? That is some intercession. She's saying, stand in the gap for me. Pray for me. Lift me up that I can go and do what I need to do. And our politicians and our Christians need you and I to do the same thing. By the way, they have fears just like you have a fear. Don't you have certain people that you're just afraid to give them the gospel? You're afraid of what they may say if you talk to them. You're just kind of skittish about, should I really give them the gospel? What may they do to me? How might they look at me? All of us have that fear in us, that timidity in us. All of us have that reluctance in us. Politicians are just like you and I. Just because they become a politician doesn't make them super Christian. I'm a super Christian. I can tell anybody anything at any time. Only Donald Trump can do that, amen. He needs to be a Christian, amen. Because he doesn't mind not biting his tongue. He tells people what he thinks. Now, that's not always a good thing, amen. But Christians could learn a lesson from the boldness that he has when it comes to Almighty God and the Spirit of God, not the spirit of man. The Spirit of God makes a difference. So Esther's praying, make some intercession, lift me up, that I can go and do the job. And we got to pray the same thing for our Christian politicians, that God would enable them to do what they need to do. Give you three things that she might have been fearful of. Number one, her position. Didn't Vashti get taken down from being queen? Yes, she did. That's how she got in her position. Number two, she could be afraid of her power. Some politicians that are Christians don't want to say anything because of the power that may be taken from them and stripped from them. And number three, her person, she's afraid something might happen. I might get put in a dungeon. Do you know that our political officials still get threats against them? Why do you think the president has so many people around him? Threats. Hey, we've had John F. Kennedy assassinated. We've had others that have been killed down the line. And so when it comes to this, they may be fearful of their position, of their power being stripped, or their person being hurt, or their family members being hurt if they do a certain thing. Folks, it won't be the first time it happened. There are threats against officials all the time, and you and I don't ever hear anything about them. By the way, preachers get threatened too. Someone actually gets shot at. Amen. Or their families get shot at. Or the house gets shot at. Amen. So when it comes down to it, intercession is necessary. He says down there, I exhort therefore, back in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and notice this next one, giving of thanks. By the way, when it comes to giving of thanks, we've got to thank God for our officials. We really do. You may not like them, but guess what? But we could be in a communist country, and you would have no voice at all. You could be in a country with a dictator, and there's nothing you can do. You just got to hide, grin, and bear it, as they would say. Giving a thanks for all men. We should thank God for our national leaders, our senators, our representatives, our state and local officials, because they are still made in the image of God. They may not act like God. They may be ungodly, but they're still created in the image of God. And we've got to thank God for them. By the way, let me give you this. We need to thank God that all their decisions are not morally corrupt, because they could be. All their decisions could be self-serving and self-seeking. They could be. They could have no goodwill towards men, if you would. They are not all corrupt. Remember, in some states, as we're praying for these officials as well, they will be under the same marijuana laws that other states are under, and their decisions may be affected by the marijuana usage. Arizona is under that state right now. Colorado is in others. And so when it comes down to thanking God for all men, we've got to thank God that they're not as bad as they could be. And, you know, by the way, folks, we always think it's as bad as it could be. It's not as bad as it could be. It could be a lot worse. I don't know about you, but it's been a lot worse in certain areas, amen? And it can get a lot worse if you and I don't intercede, if we don't pray, if we don't supplicate. It can get a lot worse. It can get a lot worse for Christians, because the liberties that we have can be taken away. They can be taken away very, very quickly. By the way, as we're thanking God for all men, remember that Jesus loved Barnabas as much as he loved Barabbas, and he loved Judas the same way he loved John, and he loved Jude the same way he loves me. And so you and I need to pray the same way for them whom God loves, and died for them even though they may not be saved. God still loves them, amen? And they still are our leaders. Notice what he goes on to say down there. Thanks be made for all men. For who? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a, what kind of life? Peaceable life in all what? Godliness and honesty. You know what Paul is saying? The prayers that I'm asking you to have in verse number 1, supplications, the prayers, the intercessions, the giving of thanks for all men, for these in particular, for the kings and ones in authority, is so that we, you and I, as Christians, can lead a quiet and peaceful life. Free from harm, free from harassment, able to do what God wants us to do without fear of government involvement. By the way, the government can get involved. There is a separation of church and state, but do they listen to that? Oftentimes, no. And so not world peace he's talking about, but believers' peace to perform the will of God, that we might lead this type of a life. And by the way, when you look at these individuals here, the kings and all that are in authority, that would be our president, our vice president, our senators, our representatives, all those that have some type of delegated authority to them. Say, preacher, why do we want to do that? So that we can have less rioting. We can have less skirmishes with the police. We have less defunding of the police. less of this and less of that. Folks, not more. We don't need any more. We've got enough going on already. But if we don't pray that we can lead this peaceable life, if we don't intercede, if we don't pray for our politicians that are in these places and ask that God would help them and supplicate for them, then we are going to get exactly what we don't pray for. And so Paul here, writing to Timothy, saying, Timothy, I'm going to leave you. I've left you. This is what you need to do. But he says, first of all, you need to pray for your government. You need to pray for your government. Folks, not every government is going to be right. Not every cause that America has is right. Not every president that we have has been right. Not every president is going to do right. Not every politician that's called on the name of Jesus Christ in the political realm is going to speak right, be right, do right, stand up, and speak up. Some are going to be silent. But that's when you and I have got to pray that God would burden their hearts, that God would deal with them in a special way, that God would give them the mouthpiece to stand up and speak that which is right. Because our country right now is divided. It's divided politically. It's divided racially. It's divided masculinity. I mean, it's divided in so many ways. It is broken. And part of the reason is Christians have stopped praying. Many Christians are like me. We're doing more complaining, more belly aching, more murmuring, more disputing, and less praying. Say, preacher, can our country be fixed? Not by us. Amen. Not by us. But it can be fixed by a God who knows the end from the beginning. Amen. It can be fixed. And by the way, people have always been broken since the fall. And broken people tend to be in governmental official places. The broken people came from broken lives and broken houses and broken homes. They had things happen to them, and that's why they act the way they act. That's why they do the things that they do. That's why they are why they are. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. The lesbian crowd, the gay crowd, the bisexual crowd, the transgender crowd, God didn't make them that way. They have freedom of choice, but certain things happen in their life that make their choice a whole lot easier to make. And so we can't blame so much the person. We've got to blame sin where sin is to blame. But yet still the person has a sense of responsibility for their own choices and their own actions. Because no one can make you sin. But life can mold you into a person that is not what God intended you to be. And many of these people are in our offices right now. And so it behooves you. Paul started this letter out to Timothy. He said, I exhort therefore first of all, Timothy, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. As much as we may not want to give thanks, we've got to. Because the opposite of giving thanks is to complain. Giving the thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Why? That we, the Christians, may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, that we can do the will of God free from harm or danger or anything else. Why? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's the goal? We'll have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How did that happen? When you and I have the ability to stand and proclaim the gospel. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What did he do? Gave himself a ransom for how many? All to be testified in due time. Folks, I don't know about you, but I had to have a good old confession. Say, well, I've done so much complaining, so much murmuring, so much disputing, and I've been doing less praying. And it's been happening for a while. Ever since the pandemic, I've been complaining and murmuring and disputing. I've done more complaining, murmuring, disputing since the pandemic, I think, than I did in the last 3 years. Amen. And I said, preacher, what happened? I'm looking at everything around me and all the disruptions around me. And I'm saying, this is not right. It's not fair. Everybody's wrong. Everything's bad. Everything's messed up. God said, what are you doing about it? I'm complaining about it. He said, that's your problem. Why don't you stop praying about it? Folks, let's just get back to some good old-fashioned prayer for our nation. If Timothy needs to do it in his time, you know we need to do it in our time. Amen? Because the political system is not going to fix itself. And by the way, you can say what you want to say, but Biden is not going to help the political system. That's God's job. That's God's job. We have one vote. We vote somebody in, and everybody expects him to be the savior. When's the last time the president been the savior? It's not going to happen. Can he get jobs? He can get jobs. Can he help the economy? He can help the economy. Can he stop certain laws from being passed? Yeah, he can. But at the end of the day, he doesn't have a heaven to put us in or hell to take us to. That job is God's alone. And so we've got to pray to God that God, you help me as an individual do my job in prayer. By the way, you can't do somebody else's job in prayer. Now you can intercede for them, like Esther. But when it comes down to it, what you and I have to do, now that the election is over, now that Biden is going in and Harris is going in, we can talk about all of their lifestyles and all the things that they have that are bad. But at the end of the day, prayer. Prayer. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks. So that you and I can lead a quiet and a peaceful life. I don't know about you folks, but I've got to get praying more for my nation. Praying more for my state. Praying more for my city. Praying more for those that I know can make a difference in the political realm with God's help. They're there. We just have to pray for them. Amen. If you're not saved here today, folks, the first prayer that you need to pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. What did he say? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What is that? The gospel, the good news. How Jesus died for us according to scriptures. He was buried and rose the third day according to the same scriptures. That is going to make the difference, folks. Let's get back to praying for our nation and leaving the results with God. And it doesn't happen the way that we think it should. Guess what? Give thanks anyway. By the way, this is Thanksgiving week. Giving thanks for all men. Why? That's what God did. Get a list of paper out. Pray and say, Lord, what am I thankful for in my nation? And just be, you'll run out of things to be thankful for in this nation. But we could be in a Muslim nation. We could be in a communist nation. Is our nation perfect? Not perfect. Do we have perfect leadership? Not at all. Do we have a perfect God? Yes, we do. Amen. So be thankful for your nation this year. Yeah, we can badmouth it. But let's not badmouth it. Let's bless it. Amen. God bless America. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, as we get closer and closer to the date of inauguration, we do pray that we would involve ourselves more in supplications, special requests for President Biden, the transition of power. Lord, the folks that he will surround himself with. Lord, our general requests, praying specifically for creative ways to get the gospel out. And then, Lord, the giving of thanks, intercessions, praying for those in the political realm that are Christians that know they know Jesus Christ. Help us to lift them up, that they could stand up and speak up and speak out against things that are against God. Lord, help them to make a difference. Lord, help us not to be accused of being complainers and murmurers and disputers about our nation, but to give thanks for all men because they are truly created in the image of God, whether they act like God or not. Lord, for that one man, woman, boy, or girl that's lost today, help them to come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they may accept him for his everlasting joy. We thank you, Lord, and love you. Bless down this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That's Gregory Plagues, a short invitation. Maybe today you need to just do like I did. Confess, Lord, I've been complaining and murmuring and disputing too much. Help me to pray. Help me to supplicate. Help me to intercede. Help me to give thanks. It's so easy to fall into the murmuring. So easy to fall into the disputing. So easy to fall into all of the imperfections of our nation. But folks, it's because of this nation that great things have happened around the world. Because of this nation, you and I are free today to vote. Because this nation, we have education and we have rights. So although we may want to complain about what we don't have, let's thank God for what we do have. Let's thank God for the one that has been elected. Let's intercede for him. Let's pray for him. Let's give thanks for him. I don't know about you, but I'm a little anxious to see what God's going to do in the next 4 years. What can God do with your prayers? What can God do with your supplications? What can God do with your intercession? What can God do with your giving of thanks for all men? God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And in the end result, our hearts will be blessed. We'll be blessed because we know that we're praying according to the will of God. Live for Jesus. Father, thank you so much for the book of Timothy that Paul wrote to instruct his young pupil. Thank you for what you enabled him to do and the Holy Spirit's inspiration into his life to show him and to teach him that one of the first things is to pray for government, that we can lead a quiet and a peaceful life, doing the will of God, free from tyranny, free from unjust seizure, free from any harassment. Lord, it comes as we supplicate. It comes as we pray. It comes as we intercede. It comes as we give thanks. So Lord, help us to be in the prayer mode as we enter into a new regime. And Lord, the transition of power is one of the first places that we need to concentrate our efforts, that it might go smooth, and that this nation can go in a direction that you have ordained for it to go. But help us, Lord, to stand. Help us to look unto Jesus. Help us to shine his lights through it all, that others can see Christ in us and take that as an opportunity to open our mouth with our words, with our works, and with our ways, as we have creative ways now to get the gospel out. We thank you, Lord. Bless now our viewers that are listening. Bless the congregation that is here. And we want to thank you for all the things that you've done for us up to this point as we approach Thanksgiving Day. In Jesus' name, amen.